You're listening to Song Exploder, where musicians take apart their songs and piece by piece tell the story of how they were made. I'm Hrishikesh Hirway. Song Exploder is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Quote now at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Panic at the Disco is the Grammy-nominated project of Brendan Urie, who originally started it as a band in 2004 with his high school friends from Las Vegas. In the 18 years since, Panic at the Disco has won American Music Awards, MTV Video Music Awards, iHeartRadio Music Awards, and more. In August 2022, Brendan put out the seventh Panic at the Disco album, Viva Las Vengeance. The title track hit number one on Billboard's Alternative Airplay chart. In this episode, Brendan tells a story of how he and Grammy-nominated producer Jake Sinclair and Oscar-nominated songwriter Mike Viola all got together to make the song Viva Las Vengeance.
I grew up musical. My mom played organ for the church, sang in the choir. My dad as well. We both played guitar. So music was always around. I had to come in and be the loud, younger child and ask for drums. And the parents were like, yeah, just get all your energy out. I am Brendan Urie, and I have a band called Panic at the Disco. I was kind of wandering around my studio aimlessly at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., and I had this earworm in my head. I just kept like humming that over and over. Then I started questioning myself, like, what am I doing here? Why am I still awake right now? Why won't my brain turn off? Shut up and go to bed. Like, I was so drained, but I was restless, you know, because I had this idea and I knew I needed to sleep, but I couldn't. That's usually how it starts for me. I have this thing trapped in my brain. I got to get it out and it won't leave my head until I put it down melodically. So I shut the doors and started recording all this stuff in the studio. So the first demo was, it was very much like the Cars. It was like dun, 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 little guitars chugging along. And I kind of wanted this doo-wop style of drums. So it was like start and stop. I didn't have any words at this point, but I had the melody. And so I wrote down like some nonsense stuff. Whatever it sounded like I was saying, like folded ones or loaded guns or something like that. Having that driving force for it kind of helped me be like, oh yeah, I should go back and look at old lyrics that I've written down, ideas that I've had that I haven't used yet. So I went back in my notes app and I just scrolling through and I was like, oh yeah, this thing, Viva Las Vengeance. And that came from a movie. I was watching this horror movie called Army of the Dead. Basically the world was in a dystopia of like zombie-like nature, but the only zombies were in Vegas. And Dave Bautista's character, he's this like ex-Marine, and on his jacket is a patch that says Viva Las Vengeance. So I was like, oh, that's great, you know, and it makes sense for me being from Vegas. So at that point, I did have the lyrics, you know, shut up and go to bed and Viva Las Vengeance. At the time, I was just kind of taking a break from everything. I was so tired. There was COVID and the lockdowns, and I was hoping to just hang with friends like I usually do when I feel stressed. I just want to ground myself with people I've worked with and hung out with for years. So, you know, I turned to my buddy, Jake Sinclair. Jake is a music producer and musician. You know, we've worked on countless albums together, countless songs, and just being friends for a long time, it's easy to bounce ideas off of someone that you trust. So I played the demo and Jake was like, yeah, that's good. Let's work on that. But then Jake had to go on a family trip and he said, well, hey, I'm going to be out of town. Why don't you go hang out with Mike Viola You know, you guys click really well together. And I think that that would just be really cool of you to do. You know, a lot of times, especially like having done songwriting sessions living in LA, I wasn't a person that could get into a room with strangers and find a way to connect with anybody or like impress them with some idea. And I wanted to kind of freak myself out with what we had written, and no one was really into that. So I just took a step back. But then when you meet people like Mike Viola or Jake Sinclair, for me, I just don't have to feel like I'm working.
1, 2, 3, 4.
So the second demo I did for Viva, I went to Mike's house. You know, we sat down, I grabbed an acoustic. Once I showed Mike the song, he pretty much understood it immediately. He was like, yeah, you know, let's talk about the chords. But I was like, you know, is it too high? Or is there a thing we can do to like make it more exciting once the chorus hits? Like, should we do like a key change? And he's like, yeah, absolutely. Let's try that. So even on that second demo, I was still trying to figure it out. And thank God for Mike Viola coming in and having such a well-versed knowledge of all those types of little songwriting tricks to help push the song forward. So we went to Jake's studio, and, you know, in the past, it was just me building myself as the band. It was like a one-man thing. I would do the drums, then I would do guitar, then I would do the bass, and then do the vocals and the harmonies. But this time I was like, I have these amazing musicians. I should utilize their talents. And so Jake's on bass, and, you know, Mike's on guitar, and I'm on drums. You know, we just sat down, and I think we played through it once or twice and then recorded the third time, and we were like, all right. I wanted to step away from production styles I had done in the past. I've kind of started drifting further and further away from overproduction. And this whole album was recorded to an 8-track tape machine because at the time I was just like fed up with having to go back and revisit a thing and refix a thing and auto-tune this thing. And it's like, just figure it out and record it in the moment. And if we're going to do this, let's all track the three of us as the foundation for this, because there's no click track. We're just looking at each other and vibing in the room. And it really brought it back to like the first punk bands I ever started in middle school. You know, that's really what it felt like. And you're like, well, there's the foundation for the song. Let's sing it.
Shut up and go to bed. She said, Viva Las Vegas. Shut up and go to bed. She said, Viva Las Vegas.
A big portion of the time I write songs, I'm thinking about the live performance, what the energy is behind that. That's really kind of been the glue for as long as I've been doing Panic. I mean, I've always wanted it to be performance-based to a certain degree and like theatrical as all hell.
Didn't want to kill the DJ, but it can't hurt to try.
I wanted to make it raw, and a lot of it was just like my relationship with my job and my relationship with fans who see me as this person in this band, as this character, and me knowing that that's full well not who I am. I mean, the first album for Panic, you know, we were so green and like didn't, I mean, there was no experience for any of it, but God, it was exciting because it was like this world that we've admired for so long had become so real all in an instant. And it was overwhelming. So we started playing characters. And, you know, that's masking all of the fears and insecurities that, you know, I'm still holding on to, I'm sure. I'm just a nervous wreck most of the time. And when I'm not expending energy to get rid of that, you know, I can become like really, really anxious and have pretty severe like anxiety attacks. But that's why, you know, it's so important for me to like keep performing. I just, it's like I have to be on, you know, turn it on, be this guy now because you can't have a breakdown out of your anxiety on stage. That would be bad. So play a character, you know, like do something else or act like you have the answers or something.
I can have my feet, act like you are me. No one really cares. Nothing's really real. No one really feels nothing to declare.
Really, it's pulling from my personal experience. I mean, I don't want to be a diva. I just want to be free on a sofa with sativa. Live in the dream. I mean, that's really like how this album was written. I was like, you know, the world is crumbling and the world's on fire. So I just want to get high and write music with my friends.
I don't want to be a diva. I just want to be free. On a sofa with sativa. Live in the dream.
We would all stack around one microphone, the three of us, you know, Beach Boys style, and just stack our harmonies together. And, you know, giving credit where it is totally due is Mike Viola. He would sit there with an acoustic and I would sing a note naturally in this falsetto, you know, so I'm like, power strip. And he'd go, okay, cool. So you sing in that range and then we'll find harmonies around that.
Power strip.
Jake has this amazing baritone, like lower voice. So he's the lower harmony, Mike's in the middle, and I'm screaming on the top.
Out of it.
We didn't use headphones when we made this album. Like, we just had the speaker at a low volume, and it's like, if you can't hear it, like, just don't sing as loud, you know? And it was kind of teaching us to hone in our voices and find this perfect balance. It just feels, I don't know, it was joyful. So, you know, we had our 8-track. We're like, well, if we're going to record a full orchestra, you know, with horns and strings and all this stuff, like, we're going to need more tracks. I have known Rob Mathis, who was the string composer, since our second album, Pretty Odd. Rob's arrangements are bonkers. He's so good at finding the best players. We were like, we'd love to have the best French horn player. She came in. We'd love to get the best trombone players. They both came in. When the breakdown happens, and I just dropped it an octave, shut up and go to bed. He builds the tension in that moment.
Shut up and go to bed. Viva Las Vengeance.
But the punches that you hear, and they're all over this album, they're some of my favorite little things that you can hear. That's us punching the tape. And so, like, you're hearing, sometimes it'll cut off the top end of something, and like that first little note. Because like we're recording it also on another track that has this other thing that we're stacking. That's the system. That's how the tape machine works. You know, Jake and I, we love skateboarding. And so the warehouse that we recorded, the whole purpose behind it was to stack the gear against the walls and put it in the center of the room with the console so that we could skate around all this stuff. Because I was like, I'm not going to sit around in this room all day and not be able to skateboard. And if we can work while we're skating, that's going to be perfect. So we built this thing we called the moat, just a perfect circle around all the gear. And we're just skating around. And Mike Viola comes into the equation and he's like, I've never skateboarded. And so we're teaching him to skateboard. And so everybody's skating in this moat. And it really is conducive to creativity. That's why we hung out a lot. And I wasn't planning on an album. We literally just had a plan of like, hey, let's just hang out. We've got this studio. Let's just go mess around, dude. Like, let's just go have fun. It's fun hanging out.
Shut up and go to bed.
So that's what we did.
Viva Las Vegas.
And then songs came out of it just because we were having the best time of our lives.
And now, here's Viva Las Vengeance by Panic at the Disco in its entirety.
Someone did me wrong, stole my favorite song. Yes, it really hurt.
Shut up, go to bed. Viva Las Vegas.
Visit songexploder.net for more information. You can find links to buy or stream Viva Las Vengeance, and you can watch the music video. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How did the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Lovingly dubbed The Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters would spur each other on to tap into something bigger, realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter The Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer, and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest. Song Exploder and the show's theme music were created by me. I produced this episode with Craig Ely, with artwork by Carlos Lerma, music clearance by Kathleen Smith, and production assistance from Chloe Parker and Mary Dolan. Song Exploder is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX, a network of independent, listener-supported, artist-owned podcasts. You can learn more about our shows at radiotopia.fm. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Rishi Hirway, and you can follow the show at Song Exploder. You can also get a Song Exploder t-shirt at songexploder.net/shirt. I'm Rishikesh Hirway. Thanks for listening.
Radiotopia.
If you're looking for another podcast to listen to, check out Normal Gossip from Radiotopia. They're coming back for their sixth season. If you don't already know the show, they were named one of the best podcasts of the year by Time Magazine and Vulture, and their new season starts April 17th. Normal Gossip is really fun. It's a show about petty and ridiculous and strange stories and the way that we share those stories. The stories that they tell in the podcast are sent in by listeners, and then they're anonymized and then retold to a guest, and then they have to weigh in on the decisions that the people in the story are making. It's very funny and very beloved. So if you aren't already listening, check out the new season, which starts April 17th. You can listen to Normal Gossip wherever you get your podcasts.